This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And all we got all kinds of stuff this hour, from the Bud Light updates to the anti-white racism to Trump's lawyer to Jeffrey Epstein to emails to everything else. But you know what time it is. It's Monday, baby. And Monday at this time, every single Monday at this time, we do Medal of Honor Monday. And I need to pause on this for a moment and give everyone a heads up about Memorial Day. That's coming up. Memorial Day, as longtime listeners of the show know, it is a day we do not take off. I understand everyone takes that day off. There aren't any radio shows and stuff like that that day. It's a day we've always thought was a sacred day, and we've always felt obligated to come do a Memorial Day show. There aren't any live reads, you know, the commercials I do and stuff like that during the show, but we've always felt like it was a show that for 3 hours we come honor the fallen. There's not really any politics. There's always some history in there, but we honor the fallen. We've done it a bunch of different ways in the past. This year for Memorial Day, it will be 3 hours of, I don't want to say lesser. Lesser is a wrong way to put it. You know how Medal of Honor is the highest citation for bravery? There are ones that are, quote, lesser. Silver Star, Navy Cross, things like that. But if you go through, if you ever take the time to go through Silver Star citations or Navy Star citations, yeah, it's a good way to put it, Chris. Other, not lesser. All right, other citations. You will understand why I'm hesitant to call it lesser if you ever go through them. You read some of these, and you know what you end up saying every time? How did they not give this guy the Medal of Honor? Some of these stories are amazing, and so we'll be sharing those stories, probably some history around it. That's just a heads up for what's coming for Memorial Day this year. Every Memorial Day, that's just kind of what we do here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, for Medal of Honor Monday, I'm going to read you. Remember, we take love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions and suggestions if you have Medal of Honor citations you like. Like this guy says, Medal of Honor Monday, Smedley Butler, one of two Marines to win the medal twice. After he retired, he was approached to lead a takeover of the presidency, never publicized due to the conspirators being big money. I wonder if that's true. Anyway, you're right. Smedley Butler was a beast. Two medals of honor. Why haven't we ever read it then? Well, because we rarely read the ones that are prior to World War II. Not for any other reason than that they suck. They never put a priority on the citation itself. It was more just, hey, present him with the medal. It's a huge honor. And so the write-ups they did on him are not only embarrassingly short, It's very, very difficult to find actual information on the events of the day and what was going on. They just didn't, take a priority on that like they did in World War II. World War II, they took more of a priority on that because there was more of a national campaign to ramp up the heroism and war bonds and things like that. A lot of things came into effect, but that stuff really wasn't that way back then. So without further ado, I'm going to read you both of them for one great Marine, Smedley Butler.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
Smedley Darlington Butler, United States Marine Corps. This one is from the Mexican campaign of 1914. This action took place in Veracruz, Mexico. For distinguished conduct in battle, engagement of Veracruz, 22nd of April, 1914, Major Butler was eminent and conspicuous in command of his battalion. He exhibited courage and skill, leading his men through action of the 22nd and in the final occupation of the city. That's it. That's the citation. Just know this was vicious house-to-house fighting in Veracruz, Mexico, where we were rooting out an enemy. And that kind of fighting, you're dealing with snipers on the rooftops. You're dealing with, you'd want a movie of that day. Sadly, none exist. I don't even know if there are pictures of that day, but none exist. Now for his second one. This one is in Fort Rivière in Haiti. Fort Rivière in Haiti. As commanding officer of detachments from the 5th, 13th, 23rd companies in the Marine and Sailor Detachment from the USS Connecticut, Major Butler led the attack on Fort Rivière, Haiti, 17th of November, 1915. Following a concentrated drive, several different detachments of Marines gradually closed in on the old French bastion fort in an effort to cut off all avenues of retreat for the Caco bandits. Reaching the fort on the southern side where there was a small opening in the wall, Major Butler gave the signal to attack, and Marines from the 15th Company poured through the breach, engaged the Caicos in hand-to-hand combat, took the bastion, and crushed the Caico resistance. Through this perilous action, Major Butler was conspicuous for his bravery and forceful leadership. So I know those are shorter. Obviously, now you know why we don't do many that are prior to World War II. It's not that the heroism's any less. It would be wonderful to have these wonderful write-ups to inform you and inform me of the deeds of these men, but they don't exist. And that's just kind of the way that goes. Now, let's deal with something interesting. I heard Janet Yellen say this. Remember, the debt ceiling fights are ramping up now. This debt ceiling fight is going to be a real deal. I can absolutely see us defaulting on this because the Republicans, they forced Kevin McCarthy in order to be speaker into having a real spine. And now they're asking for very real concessions the communists do not want to give. And they're ramping up all the rhetoric out there now and saying things like this.
I indicated in my last letter to Congress that we expect to be unable to pay all of our bills in early June and possibly as soon as June 1st. And I will continue to update Congress, but I certainly haven't changed my assessment. So I think that that's a hard right. deadline.
Man, that's scary, isn't it? Have you heard that there's a hard deadline? We're not going to be able to pay our bills? Oh my gosh, someone better do something. We're out of money.
And yesterday I announced that the United States plans to contribute another $250 million to the pandemic fund at the World Bank to make sure the world is better prepared to prevent, detect, and respond to future pandemics.
Hold on. What? I thought, didn't Janet Yellen just say?
I indicated in my last letter to Congress that we expect to be unable to pay all of our bills in early June and possibly as soon as June 1st. And I will continue to update Congress, but I certainly haven't changed my assessment. So I think that that's a, a hard right. deadline.
I'm so lost because that sounds so serious. It sounds like the money is out. The piggy bank is empty. We are going to default. This is a disaster. And then the president says things like this.
And yesterday I announced that the United States plans to contribute another $250 million to the pandemic fund at the World Bank to make sure the world is better prepared to prevent, detect, and respond to future pandemics.
Yeah, it's crazy because I'm looking actually at another story about another gigantic payment of cash to Ukraine. So we keep in mind, you and I, we are actually paying not just for bullets and bombs for the troops in Ukraine. Did you know that you and I, did you know we're actually paying for the pension funds of people in the Ukrainian government? We're paying the pensions. So you and I, we're paying for some foreign minister of God knows what. We're paying for him and his third mansion. We're paying his pension fund. And there's $250 million for the pandemic fund. That's really important because Lord knows they handled the last pandemic so well. What they need is more money. So there's money for Ukraine and there's money for the World Bank and there's money for this and there's money for that. But they want you to believe the money's out and we're going to stop paying our debts on June 1st. Don't ever, ever, ever believe these emotionally manipulative hostage takers on the left. It's never true. They lie all the time. These people spend gobs of money they don't have to spend. They've got plenty of money. Go find it somewhere else. Stop blowing all of our money. All right. You want to talk about, let's talk about something that won't be offensive to anybody, right? Let's talk about anti-white racism because that's very prevalent out there now. And it's a huge topic out there now. Does it happen? Doesn't it happen? If it happens, why does it happen? Is that the real fight? Are we, is that what we're up against? You want to have a very frank, uncomfortable conversation that's going to have the communists really mad at me tomorrow? Let's do that. Before we do that, let's get to this one. Let's get to this one. Our pooch has been sick since he was a puppy with thyroid and arthritis issues. The biggest improvement was seen in his coat. It is so soft and he doesn't shed near as much. Yay! He seems to have more energy, and we haven't had to have monthly allergy shots yet, so that is all good. Plus, he seems to really like rough greens and never sticks his nose up when it's chow time. Thank you. That's from Scott in Anchorage. I'm sitting on page after page after page of these testimonials from people who are thrilled about what Rough Greens has done for their dog. Your dog doesn't have to go to the vet every other day. Your dog doesn't have to die at 10 or 11. If we actually start giving our dogs real nutrition, we might just have our dogs longer and healthier for longer. Get some Rough Greens, all natural, nutritional supplement. Pour it on your dog's food because there's no nutrition in your dog's food. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse for a free jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Gosh, I want to go to Kokomo, Chris. I want to go right now. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's get to a couple emails before we get to the anti-white racism stuff. And this is going to be very uncomfortable. You know what? No, we're not getting to any emails. I'll get to the emails in a little bit. Let's dig right into it. There is something going on in America, and we can discuss it in the practical sense, and then we can also and should zoom out and discuss it from kind of a macro 30,000-foot view sense. One of the clips that's gone famous around the news lately, it was a picture, it was a video of a physical assistant at a hospital in New York City. She had paid for a city bike in New York City, and a group of young black dudes surround her and say, "You're stealing my bike." They said that's not her bike. And immediately the video went like wildfire across the internet. The hospital she works at, "Hey, we don't need you here anymore." Everyone's calling the lady every name underneath the sun. "You monster." And it turns out she did pay for the bike. It was her bike. They were trying to take her bike. Okay, so just another in the long line of stories like this.
Let's deal with the practical reality on the ground. Don't care how uncomfortable it makes you. It's a fact. Anti-white racism is now systemic in America. They always use that word systemic when they're talking about black, anti-black racism. But let's discuss what systemic is. If I hate Jews, if I hate Jewish producer Chris, oh, you Jews suck, space lasers or whatever they say about you people, Chris. Okay, that's not ideal. You don't want to be somebody who hates Jews, but I'm just a dude. I'm a dude who lives in Texas. I live in the Houston area. It's not that big of a deal if I hate Jews. It's not ideal, but it's not life-changing. In fact, Chris could quit the show, and the fact that I personally hate Jews would never affect him or anyone in his synagogue because I'm just a guy. Now, what if it's not me? What if the state of Texas has declared, man, we hate Jews. Jews suck. No more Jews. What if organizations within the state of Texas, public and private, decide no more Jews? Like, we live in the Houston area. The Astros are a big baseball team here. What if the Astros decided, you know what? Tired of these Jews buying up all the kosher dogs. No more Jews. The local judges decide, Jews, definitely second-class citizens, no more Jews. You see where I'm going? On and on and on this goes. Now, what that is systemic. That is a big problem, because now Chris and Chris's people, now they can't live free. Now they can't live normal. Now, because the system has decided the Jews are the enemy, now that's a big problem. So if it's one person, if it's an individual, you know, you disliking Italians or something like that, not the end of the world. The system deciding Italians are really, really bad, that's a problem. Systemic. Here in the United States of America, anti-white, white people are the enemy, is now systemic. Don't care if that makes you uncomfortable. If that makes you uncomfortable, or if you deny it, you're denying reality, basic reality. It's right in your face from top to bottom. Do I need to remind you that Joe Biden got elected? Remember all the PPP funds, the funds they were handing out to all the businesses they destroyed with coronavirus? The first thing Joe Biden did, one of the first things Joe Biden did when he took office, and I have confirmation on how this practically worked on the ground from a banker friend of mine. The first thing he did openly, he did it on camera. He walked up and said, white people, to the back of the line. If you were white, you did the back of the line. Systemic. That's systemic. Go look at the college scholarships available for young white kids in this country. That's systemic. Go look at the racism that is and is not allowed in this country. If I was black, and I stood up here right now on a nationally syndicated radio show, 200 plus channels, and I said, I hate white people. I don't even know that an advertiser would quit. It's allowed. But if I stood here right now and said anything remotely racist, it wouldn't even have to be I hate black people. If it was anything even sniffing racism, gone. Gone. Societal cancellation, it just completely gone. Anti-white racism is now systemic in this nation from top to bottom. It is virtually inescapable, and it's being acted upon. And this is, by the way, this is the street view. We are going to zoom out and deal with the why and what the real motivation is behind all this. But we're dealing with the street view. What do I mean? Street view. Well, in urban areas, happens all over the place now, black people are beginning to assault white people more and more. That's statistically true. That's a fact. Why? Well, the entire system is telling them that, hey, those white people are evil and they hate you and they're oppressing you. Inevitably, when you spread a message like that, it will get down to somebody who's violent enough or dumb enough or violent and dumb enough to act upon it. It is materializing an open anti-white racism that is real, and it is violent, and it is going to a scary place. That's the street view. But why? Is that the goal? To destroy white people? Is that the real goal? Yes, but no, not really. I will explain in a moment. Now, I don't want any emails saying, Jesse, this conversation made me uncomfortable. If you're going to email me and tell me that, I want you to do this instead. I want you to go to choq.com, use the promo code Jesse, and I want you to get a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Because if uncomfortable conversations about race make you get the jitters, you're just too weak. You have to buck up and you have to get better and you have to get stronger. Get your T levels up. Ladies, get your energy levels up with all natural herbal supplements from Choq. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Choq.com, promo code Jesse. That gets you 35% off subscriptions. We talk about uncomfortable things on this show. We always have. We always will. If you can't handle it, change the freaking channel or get yourself a male vitality stack. All right? More in a second.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email your love, your hate, your death threats to Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to the emails in a little bit. We're dealing with the focused and then the macro anti-white racism in America. Okay, so anti-white racism is systemic in this nation from top to bottom. The top of the government, throughout the federal government. Look, I could read you my emails throughout the military right now. I was denied a promotion. They flat out told me I'm too white. I'm too that. Okay, so this is systemic now. Takes place across the nation. That is ramping up anti-white violence. Anti-white violence is something that is ramping up now. This is a problem people won't talk about because it makes people uncomfortable. And that has, because of these things that I just talked about, people get confused and understandably confused about what is going on. A lot of people will look at everything I just said, from the anti-white violent crime to the systemic anti-white racism, and they will say, the goal is to destroy white people. The mission is to end white people, to crush white people. Yes, but not really. Let me explain. Let me explain. Just stay with me for a second. who are the leaders of the system? Who are they? Klaus Schwab. Bill Gates is going to be on that list somewhere. Jeff Bezos. Probably Joe Biden. Have you seen the CEOs of the major social media companies, the tech giants, the Googles, the Facebooks? Have I mentioned a single person who isn't white yet? That's interesting. So the people who will undoubtedly be in charge once the communist takeover is complete, which Lord willing it never is, but the people who will be in charge if it's complete, they're all white. So why are the white people at the top pushing anti-white racism? Well, here's why. You know who the Kulaks were? We talked about the Kulaks before. Everyone knows by now. If you listen to this show, you know who the Kulaks were. If you weren't, Stalin takes over the Soviet Union, hates the Ukrainians, wants a bunch of forced communist farm policy, decides he's going to basically take over all the farming in Ukraine. But there were these people in Ukraine who were uniquely positioned to resist Stalin. They were Kulaks. Who are Kulaks? Who were the Kulaks? Kulaks were simply people who had their own farm. That's it. You had your own farm. You got 5 people that work on your farm, 10 people that work on your farm, but you've got your own farm. Now, why were they the problem? Why was Stalin after the Kulaks? Was it their religion or whatever? Well, here's why. Remember this. Always remember, there are 2 paths to communism. This is almost universal. 2 paths to communism. 1, uber rich, the child of privilege. The child of privilege from Lenin to Che to Pol Pot to all these guys. They're almost all the children of privilege. You wake up, you're rich your whole life. You eventually find some cause to make you feel like you have a purpose and you pursue communism. The second path to communism is poor, malcontented, because you have less to live for. You have less that's appealing to you. Someone comes along and promises to give you something and you agree to accept it. And then you, in exchange, you end up handing that other communist power, the rich communist power. But you know who has always been a problem for the communist? He's a problem now for the communist. He was a problem in the Soviet Union for the communist. He was a problem in China for the communist. He was always a problem for the communist. And he is a problem. He will be a problem forevermore. The middle class. Why? The reason the middle class is a problem for the communist is he is wealthy enough that he doesn't need a handout. He's not a malcontent. He's not sitting there saying, give me, I've been wronged, I've been this, I've been that. He's wealthy enough to not need anything from the elites, but he's not wealthy enough to be one of the elites. You see? So what is he? What is a middle-class guy? More than even the rich guys are, the middle-class guy is independent. He doesn't need the government. He doesn't need the people. He doesn't need, but, well, independence doesn't work. Independence doesn't work. Which brings us back to America. A huge part of the anti-white racism you see taking place in the United States of America today is more about socioeconomics than anything else. White people, if you break down the different demographics, they make up the largest portion of the middle class in this country. And communists, remember, communists believe in just collectively punishing people. When Stalin wants to go after people who might be against him and his regime, Stalin will go after the Poles. He was famous for this. Anybody Polish at all. If your mom was friggin' Polish, shoot him! He was just shooting people and killing people all over the Soviet Union who had any ties to Poland at all. Because you're not dealing with human beings, you're dealing with anti-humans, they will just simply collectivize who the enemy is. So the enemy, white people. And there's more to it. When you make white people the enemy, what you do is you give a target to the various other fingers of America's communist fist. You get to point them towards white people and say, there's the enemy. hate him. He's the bad guy. That way you don't look at what the government is doing to you. So is anti-white racism very real and a very big problem and systemic? Yep, no question about it. But is that the ultimate goal? No, it's just a wonderful means to an end. They have identified the new kulaks in this society. Those privileged kulaks, that's what you need to think every time they talk about his privilege and her privilege. He's oppressed by this privileged person over there. They have identified the person who's not wealthy enough to be in the elite, but not poor enough to demand a handout. And they have decided that is the enemy. That is the reason you see so much open, blatant anti-white racism in this nation. But all the white people, virtually all the elites are the white people. They're not against white people. They understand it's a means to an end. How in the world can I motivate this poor Ukrainian? He's barely getting by. How can I motivate him? Well, I'll tell him that kulak is the reason he's poor. You know the reason you have to go work for that kulak? He's exploiting you. That's the enemy. Hey, you know what? Here's a stick. Go beat him to death. He's the one responsible for your life. That's why you see what you see now. It's big business. This is all simply another step on the way to the communist completing his takeover, completing his power. Focus people, divide people against each other, and then do the best you can to either eliminate the kulaks, or if you can't eliminate them, at least shut them up. And that's a big problem now too, because nobody white in this country will even do a thing to risk pointing out uncomfortable truths because you don't want to be called the R word. There's nothing worse you can be than the R word. You should see what our emails will look like tomorrow. Now, remember, I don't give a crap. You can send in all your emails you want. Doesn't bother me at all. But everything I just said is true. That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. It is a huge problem. So that's what it looks like on the ground. And that's what it looks like bigger. Now, let's deal with mafia tactics and the LGBTQ stuff. Oh, and I do have to get to this Joe Biden thing from today. Another reason. Exhibit A. Well, no, this is like Exhibit Z, if they go down that far, of why I think they're going to dump Joe Biden. Before we get to that, let's get to this. You need to put your money somewhere where it can make money. You know that already. But that really, really shouldn't probably be the market right now. Unless you have a super savvy market guy, it needs to be in hard assets. It needs to be in real estate. Why do you think so many people make so much money in real estate, and they make so much money in high markets and down markets? Why do you think that is? Bull or bear, they're busy making money. Because no matter what, when you buy a home, the home has value. Now, that value may go up a little or it may go down a little, but the value itself remains because it is a hard asset people can use, people can live in. Done for you real estate will protect and grow your wealth with hard assets. They'll find you the properties. They'll find you the best markets. They'll vet them. They'll get you the financing. They'll get it insured. They even handle the closing. They handle the rental process. You sit back and make money. DoneForYouJesse.com, all right? DoneForYouJesse.com.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I have an update for you on the book tour, because we get emails and things like that. The book tour has been finalized. You ready? Drum roll, please. What, Chris? I do my own drum roll. Drum roll, please. Oh, wait. Let me find the text message now. I probably should have done that before we got back from break. All right. Book tour. Still can't find it. I clicked on the wrong text thread. Hold on. This is awkward. I wish this had gone differently. All right. Now this is it. Now we're ready. Book tour. June 10th, Houston. Don't worry. The details of all this stuff will all be on jessekellybook.com. It probably already is there. If not, it will be. I'm just giving you dates and locations, all right? But this is final. June 10th, Houston. June 12th, Salt Lake City. Freaking geeked about that. Wednesday, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. June 12th, Salt Lake City. Monday, June 12th, Salt Lake City. Wednesday, June 14th, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Thursday, June 15th, Tampa, Florida. There you go. That's the book tour. I will see you out there. Obviously, the locations and times and all that stuff, it's all probably already on the website, or it will be shortly. If you want the Anti-Communist Manifesto signed and stamped by a world-famous author, you got to come out and see me at one of those places. And do come out and let's share a laugh if you feel like it. It should be a good time. There will probably never be another book tour for me. I will be honest with you. This has been a lot. It's been a lot, and I'm not complaining. I'm not a writer, man. I understand people who are, and it's one of those things. It's like musical people for me. I was thinking about this weekend when we were listening to that live music, and I was pouring lemon water in my son's eyes. When we were doing that this weekend, I was looking at the guy who was up there, and he had this wonderful voice, and he was a songwriter, and he was playing tunes you knew and tunes he'd written, and there was so much talent there. And I looked at him, and I admire the talent, and I'll be honest with you, I'm fascinated by the talent. Musical people fascinate me, but that's because God didn't give me any of that. And I'm not complaining, Lord. I'm very thrilled with whatever you gave me. I get it, but you know, as you know, the Kellys can't sing or draw or dance or play instruments or anything. We're more of a white trash people, okay? We don't do those things. So people that possess those skills, those real creative skills like that, I've always found them to be fascinating. I find them fascinating. I feel the same way about writers, authors. I think it would be a really cool life to be a famous author. To sit down, I mean, I joke about being a world famous author. It's the only book I've ever written and probably ever will write. But I think it would be awesome to constantly want to write things and write things down. And I think that would be a cool thing. And especially if you got famous and your books got really big, the life these authors live, they bounce around the world. They'll just go to, I'm going to go spend the summer in Greece writing my next book. And it's all paid for. And they'll just wake up doing whatever people do in Greece. I don't know, probably throwing olives in the air or something. And they'll just start writing stuff. That sounds cool. I look at it and I think, man, that's fascinating. That would be cool. But that's not who I am. I'm not this. So enjoy the one and probably, hopefully, only Jesse Kelly book tour. There it is. It's laid out for you. Oh, more and more on the pins. Shogun. I love the AC pin, but some of us pre-ordered the book months ago. Could some AC clothing be made by freedom-loving American companies be in the works, especially those that make it here? I have to live in this blue Marxist hellhole for 5 more years until I get my 25 and a pension. I always wear something off-duty, a hat, T-shirt, etc., that tells the world where I stand. I would proudly wear my AC. And this is from Rick. Okay, well, in case you don't know what he's talking about, as we laid out, I am sorry, but there are only 2,000 of these. I can't do anything about that. We have a pin, a very subtle, very good-looking pin. It's just a little pin. It says AC on it. It's a black pin, gold lettering. Stands for anti-communists. But other people don't know that. When you order 2 or more copies of the book, there's a form to fill out at jessekellybook.com. They make you upload the receipt and stuff like that. They will mail you out a pin. The first 2,000 people who do that get a pin mailed to them. I want you to wear it. Wherever you go, I want you to wear it. And when you see someone else who has it on, I want you to promise to go break bread with them. Even if it's just some fries or a coffee or a beer, I want you to go exchange numbers. Deal. Let's become a community. Let's become an anti-communist community. And it's subtle enough, you don't even have to worry about offending liberal Aunt Peggy. You just have an AC pin on. She doesn't know what it means, but the other people who have it will know what it means. Now back to this email. I actually like the idea of expanding that idea, but here's the thing about me. I don't plan ahead. I don't think about things. Don't agree with me when I say that stuff, Chris. I don't think about things ahead of time. Now that you've brought up the idea, I will now take the idea and act like I had thought of that the entire time myself. So in the future, there might be some of that. I've had a very difficult time finding merch that's made in America, which is a big deal for me. But in the future, that might be a thing. The pins, though, I love the pins because, one, they look good, and they're so subtle. Nobody knows what that means, but when you finally see that first person who has his on, he'll know what it means. She'll know what it means, and I love that. I think it's cool. So that's the idea. All right. The latest in the Bud Light saga. The NAACP out there running his mouth and probably shouldn't have. And a nice little window courtesy of Oxford, not Oxford Gold, Oxford the University. So I'm talking about the bad Oxford, not the good one. Not courtesy of Oxford, a nice little preview on what it's like to live under communism. All that, and actually there's so much more than that still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to that, there are millions of people right now within the borders of the United States of America who are being trafficked. Most of them children. Child trafficking. The slave trade is not gone. Slavery is still in effect. It's right here in America. I promised you that I was going to start working with the Acervo Project. A-S-S-E-R-V-O. The Acervo Project. What do? They track down these child predators. They collect all the info. They hand law enforcement a completed case. Boom! Off the streets. They're out there saving kids. So I need you to hear me. If you're one of these kids, or you know one of these kids, and you're in a bind, go to theacervoproject.org. They also have a tip line there. A-S-S-E-R-V-O. Help is here for you. There is help. Get a hold of them, all right? Get a hold of them, no matter what. They've heard it all. Get a hold of them. If you want to support them, and I hope you do want to support them, $14. That's what they ask for a month. Theacervoproject.org. Theacervoproject.org. A-S-S-E-R-V-O. $14 a month. Get a hold of them. This is important, all right? We still have another hour. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.